Soldier in Roman battle dress. I doubt if the guards had full battle dress on while they were sat in the prisons or the in-house arrests. What I'm going to do, because I know some of the younger people are here, though I'm struggling to see them now, they've all merged into... You're a young one, are you, Tom? Okay, I wasn't thinking of that youngness. Can I have the next slide, please, again? So what we've got here is those six main items that are called the armour of God. And I've got six other verses in the Bible written on here, and in here is something that we're then going to use just at the end of the sermon. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them to whoever wants them. You can then start working out which of those each relates to, and then you can try and work out what's in there. If you hold it up to the light, you'll probably guess it. So I'm going to come down and offer.
I'll give.
So just to repeat, those verses, and it should be quite straightforward to work which of the six. But as an introduction to that, I'm going to look at the couple of verses before the verses on the armour, where Paul says in verse 10, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And the thing that struck me here is the word "his mighty power." That's good news. It's a gift to us from God. Perhaps we're concerned. I'm concerned in my daily, weekly life, day to day. I seem to drift from situation to situation. You might get fired up on a Sunday, but midweek you feel a bit powerless. But the good news is that God has put his spirit in us. That's the thing that happens when you become a Christian. God puts his Holy Spirit in you. It may be slumbering, it may be sleeping, but it's there for you to call on. So you don't have to do it in your own strength. You've got his mighty power in you. And verse 11, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand. Now the stand is against, as we see in verse 12, and we saw the list of all the principles, authorities and rulers that we're standing against. Next slide, please, Douglas. Now if you lived 400, 500 years ago, this is the artist, as you well know, I'm sure, Pieter Bruegel the Elder from 1562. Here's his depiction of the fights that are going on in the spiritual realm and how it affects us. If you lived 400 or 500 years ago, you wouldn't even question this verse. You would think, of course, we know for a fact that there's spirituality going around us. We know for a fact that Jesus says that Satan is the prince of this world. Jesus' kingdom is of heaven, but there's a princedom of this world that Satan rules of. Satan was thrown out of heaven. We don't know how many angels of the fallen angels that were sent with him, but we can guess maybe, because in Revelation it talks about the dragon sweeping a third of the stars out of the sky, so maybe that's a reference to that Michael overcame and his angels overcame a third of those and threw them to the earth. And we know they're working here. And that's why Louis finds it so hard to witness to his mates. That's why we find it so hard to witness the people that we're in, because they have a different reality. They don't see it as a spiritual battle. And in fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, the God of this world, that's Satan, Jesus proclaims him as the God or the prince of this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So you're going to get responses ranging from stony silences to open attacks if you try and talk about Jesus. Now, Satan's got a few tactics that have been used down the ages, and the first one is to make us believe he doesn't exist, and that's what's happening today. I've just reread the Harry Potter books from start to finish. I thought it was about time I read them again. And you may remember in the middle of there, Voldemort, who's the baddie, I'm sure you all know that Voldemort's the baddie, yeah? Voldemort is doing his best to make people believe he hasn't returned. He can work much better if people don't believe in him. Through the Daily Prophet, the newspaper, he ridicules Dumbledore, he ridicules Harry Potter. The Minister for Magic is adamant that Voldemort's not returned because he can work better if people don't believe in him. And that's the same with Satan. Satan's got another trick, another tactic he uses. He accuses us. He accuses us as Christian and tries to undermine us. Now, you may know, you may have heard that that's why we call him Satan. The word Satan means accuser or adversary. Like in a court of law, the person who stands up and points the finger and tells all the bad things about you. That's what Satan and his fallen angels does. So he tells us that we're weak and useless. He points out all our failures, and we seem to be quite happy to listen to them. But he's got another tactic. In the same breath, he then tries to build us up as self-important, and we can do it all by ourselves and we don't need God. So if we know these tactics, we can do well to guard against them. So if we could go back to the next slide, which is the first slide we saw. Here we are, six areas of the armour of God. And Tom, would you mind taking the mic around, please, and just choosing any of the six people at random and asking if they can match their verse, read their verse out. Maybe you can read it or they can read
it. If you've got one, can you hold it up so I can see who has them, actually? That would be a help. I'm coming here first. Hello.
So, do you think you've matched it?
Yeah.
Say again?
Yes.
Great. Which one do you think it matches?
The belt.
The belt of truth. That's good. That's the first in my list as well. Okay. Now, the belt of truth is not like the belts we use to hold our trousers up. In the old days, they needed to gather their cloaks in that went right down to the floor. His cloak seems to stop halfway down, but they do go right down. Do you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? He was told to outrun Ahab. Ahab was in a chariot, but Elijah had to outrun him when the storm was coming. And he did it by, in 1 Kings 18:46, by tucking in his cloak into his belt, and then he could run fast. So what we need to do is remind ourselves about the truth, the belt of truth, so that we're not tripped up by the lies of Satan. You can now open that envelope, if you like, and start to think about why I might have given you what's in it. First of all, perhaps, Tom, could you ask the girl, the young girl, what have you got in your envelope?
What have you got in your envelope? She thinks it might be a coin.
You can open it and have a look.
You can open it and have a look.
Right. It is a coin, you're right. Start looking at the coin while we move to the next person. I'm conscious of time. Choose one at random.
Going here.
There's one behind you as well, Tom.
I'm in here.
Either. Don't matter.
I've got Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So I think that's the helmet of salvation.
Helmet of salvation. Fantastic. And when I think of salvation, I remember what I was taught in Sunday school, that it comes in three tenses, as in past tense, now, present tense, and future tense. In the past tense, when you were saved, when you became a Christian, you were saved. It's now in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have been saved. Day to day in the present tense, you are being saved. And some of the things that we're being saved from is the temptations that the devil puts in our way, from ourselves, from our old nature. And then the future tense comes at judgment day. We will be saved because of the Lamb's blood. We will be saved. Do you know what we're saved from? The second death. Now, death is a hard word because we take it to mean annihilation. But in the Bible, death means separation. When you die here in the physical realm, your spirit is separated from your body. When you die in the second death, you're separated from God. So that's what the helmets of our salvation protects us from. Next, please. And you can open it now.
Just going to stay here.
given it to Tom. I didn't give the envelope to Tom. To Mike, I mean.
This is from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword.
Excellent. And which do you think, Mike?
Is it the sword?
It is the sword of truth. Now, you might complain that a sword is part of armour. Surely a sword is a weapon. So how can Paul say it's part of the armour? Now, as the Greek scholars amongst us will tell us, I had to look it up, the word armour that we translate here in Ephesians as armour actually is panoplia, maybe that's how you say it, and it actually means the whole equipment. So the equipment of a soldier, so swords allowed, and the famous verse, of course, is 2 Timothy 3, all scripture, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped. And so, if we need any more encouragement, think about Jesus in his temptation. How did he fight off the devil? You can imagine him with a flaming sword, which is the word of God, when he said, "It is written." And then he quotes the scripture back to them. So we need to know more powerful memory verses. You can open your folder, which you've probably done. Tom, please, yes?
So what have you got here? Nice and loud.
Shield.
The shield.
The shield, fantastic.
The shield.
Shield, I'm going to have to find where the shield is in my notes.
This verse?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to try and read it out?
You can't read it.
Okay.
1 Peter 1. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Through faith we're shielded by God's power. Now the shield is important. It's probably even longer than this picture. It wasn't like a little shield we have in Knights of the Round Table sort of shield. It was a full body shield, and the Romans were noted for that. It's got a special name, isn't it, where they all get together and put the shields on the bottom and the top and stop everything coming in. And it stops the flaming arrows. Now, in the old days, what they used to do is put the arrow in pitch. That's like a tar substance that can catch fire. They used to light them and then shoot them at the enemy. And if it stuck in you, you'd then burst into well, you won't burst into flames, but you'd start to be very flame. So what Paul is referring to is the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, I've thought of a few here. Maybe unworthiness. We've already talked about I'm not good enough. So that might be one of the arrows the devil points at you. Or doubt. God can't possibly accept me back now that I've done that. And you can think of hundreds of arrows, I'm sure. Next, please. Yes, you can open that.
Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace.
Yeah, and do you think that matches?
The shoes of the gospel.
Yeah, excellent. Now, I've got no real idea what Paul's talking about here. I looked at some commentaries, and they've got so many different opinions, there can't be an obvious answer. So maybe you can work out your own answer. Some people think it's we should be messengers and go around and tell people the good news, possibly. Other people says that because Paul talked about standing firm all the time, well, to stand firm you need good shoes, and good shoes you need peace from the gospel. So maybe that's it. So you can open that one as well. You should have another coin in there. Is this the last? Yes?
This is the last one.
Excellent.
So, Ellie, we've had all of them other than the breastplate of righteousness. What have you got? Have you got the breastplate of righteousness?
Yes.
Well, that was easy for you, wasn't it?
Okay, do you want to read out your word from Philemon?
Okay. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ.
That's perfect. So that's important. It's not our righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Because in the Roman army, if one of these arrows hit your arm, well, you'd be okay. You could probably fight for a bit and then you'd get mended. But if it hit your chest and pierced through your heart or some other vital organ, you're out of action for good. So they had this breastplate that protected them. Right, so you've all got coins. You should have 6 coins. Could you bring them to the front, please? Because we're going to assemble them in a certain way. Who has got the pound coin? Come to the front, Mike. Come on. Thank you, yes. 2 there, 3 there, that's 6. I don't know where to assemble them exactly. Let's just assemble on the bottom. Who's got the pound coin? Which coin have you got? No one's got the pound coin, because I've got the pound coin. Oh, by the way, this is my money. It's not a prize for winning. Can we show the next picture, please? Next slide, please. I was fascinated, and it's on this one as well. You can use this as a template. I was fascinated that some of the pound coins these days has this shield on it, which talks about the different parts of the UK. If you look at your coins, have you noticed what's on your coins? They all make a shield. As we sing the next song, your task is to arrange that into this. You can take that as a template. Arrange that into this shield. Okay? Do you think you can do that?